Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. August 25th is the 100th birthday of the groundbreaking composer, conductor, writer, and activist Leonard Bernstein. He died in 1990 at age 72. To honor his expansive career, musicians around the world are collaborating on Leonard Bernstein at 100. Thousands of performances, events, and activities celebrating his contributions to opera, theater, dance, film, and orchestra. Next Saturday at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra will perform a special salute to Bernstein with selections from West Side Story, Candide, and On the Town. WIPR is a media partner for this event. Here to tell us about it is conductor Maren Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and a former student of Leonard Bernstein's. Welcome to On the Record.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Scott Simon, host of NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday, joins us on the line from NPR headquarters in Washington. Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Sheila. Good to be with you both.
Maren Alsop, your father took you to one of Bernstein's Young People's Concerts when you were 9 years old. You described that as the moment you knew you wanted to be a conductor. What was it about Leonard Bernstein's performance that captivated you?
Well, I'm not sure it was about his performance. First of all, he was wearing a turtleneck, which I thought was really cool. And then he was jumping around a lot, and he was talking to the audience. And that I had never seen a conductor do. And he had such enthusiasm for the pieces he was performing, and he just clearly loved what he was doing. And, you know, then the music started, and I was sold. I turned to my dad and I said, I have to be the conductor. And I never changed my mind, not for a second.
And then, like 20 years later, you were a student of Bernstein's.
Yeah, I became a student of his and worked with him a lot at Tanglewood Music Festival. And yeah, it was a dream come true. He was my hero, and he became my mentor and my friend, I'm happy to say.
And when you say he was your mentor, what can you share something with the rest of us that you think you got from him that you would not have gotten anywhere else?
Well, I think, it's the responsibility and of being a conductor. And what does the conductor do? You know, people often ask me that. What are you doing up there waving your arms?
What do you do?
Yeah. And really, it was Bernstein's total commitment to the role of the conductor as the messenger of the composer, and that it's our job to be storytellers for the composer, to get that narrative across to the listeners, to the musicians first and to the listeners that way. And that if you haven't been true to the composer and you haven't put the composer first, you really are not succeeding as a conductor. I think that was a fantastic lesson.
Scott, what about you? When did you first become aware of Leonard Bernstein?
Well, I don't have a story that's nearly as good as Maren's.
No, of course not.
to say the least. But I think for a lot of us, it was watching the Young People's Concerts on CBS. And yes, he would wear a turtleneck, which was just such a, you know, hip, outrageous thing, wonderfully with it thing to do. And the fact that he had not only such energy, but such conspicuous joy when he conducted. You know, in as a Chicagoan, we would see Fritz Reiner at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in those days, who, Maren will tell me if I'm wrong about this, a wonderful conductor, and I'm sure a wonderful guy, but he was not Leonard Bernstein. He was not glittering by comparison, let's put it that way. Bernstein was the great communicator of classical music, and not just classical music, for all of us. And then knowing that this man had written West Side Story, and who among us didn't know two or three songs from West Side Story?
Yeah.
How could more, you know, marvelousness be wrapped up in one human package?
That's true.
I mean, it was just, we throw around that term force of nature, but everything that I have learned from Maren and others over the years about Leonard Bernstein suggests that's absolutely what he was.
Scott, it was interesting to me to hear Maren a minute ago talk about the role of the conductor. Last fall, you spent some time in the conducting class that yes, Maranoff's up led at the
and
Peabody.
And Maron's conducting class, to say the least, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I would have qualified for any other conducting class, but the maestro looked the other way since it
no,
was me. Yes.
No.
And what does a conductor do? Well, I learned, you know, the orchestra was wonderfully attentive and made me feel like I was actually breaking through and had learned something. And then Maron said, okay, this has been a lot of fun. Now do it for real, following Scott's conducting. And they, you know, they sounded like they each had dropped their instruments on the pavement getting out of a bus. So, you know, I learned an approximation of how you stand and some of the histrionics you go through, but I didn't really learn how to conduct. That I leave to the experts like Maron.
Maron, Scott mentioned West Side Story, and of course that is a big memory for a lot of us. Bernstein was as recognizable in popular culture as he was critically renowned. The film scores, the young people's concerts on television. Why do you think his popularity has lasted?
It's interesting because he was so talented on so many levels, you know, not just as a conductor, but as a composer, as a Broadway composer, as a pop composer, as a serious composer, as a thinker, as a TV person. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But I think what really endures is the fact that he could write a great tune. You know, it almost comes down to that in a way that melody is still... It's still the calling card of a great composer to write a fantastic song. I mean, to write somewhere. You live forever when you write a tune like this. And he wrote beautiful melodies, and he wrote music that transformed people's lives and touched people. And, you know, when he was alive, he touched all of our lives. And he continues to do so through the digital media. And it's so fantastic to you know, go on YouTube and watch his young people's concerts or watch a concert with him conducting. I mean, he's with us still, and that's a great, great thing, and we're so privileged to have that today.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing the BSO perform and Maron talk about the overture from Candide, because I think it's safe to say when it came out in the early 50s, from everything I read, this was not a successful show.
Right.
But that overture from Candide... In other words, they had great talents involved later on Stephen Sondheim, but initially Lillian Hellman, who had, I believe, the only libretto she ever worked on, Richard Wilbur, the great poet. But after they got involved, if I might put it this way, it was middling success as a musical. But that overture, which of course is Bernstein's music, is perhaps the most successful single overture in Broadway history. It's composed all the time by symphony orchestras as an overture. People don't even necessarily want to get to the musical, but they do want to hear the overture. And that, to me, is the singular kind of talent that he had as a composer.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we're going to hear
yes.
on May 5th, right?
Yes, we're going to perform the overture to Candide and some excerpts from West Side Story, from On the Town. You know, I think it'll, and I have a couple of surprises for Scott, but I don't want to tell you because.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, some special surprises for you.
All right.
But Maron Alsop, I mean, this Leonard Bernstein at 100 celebration comprises literally thousands of performances around the world. How did you decide what you wanted the BSO to perform in a salute to Bernstein?
You know, it's almost impossible to distill it down to just a few pieces, but I think we tried to capture the exuberance. You know, Scott mentioned the sheer joy that Bernstein expressed, and that's what the music we've selected really conveys. And you know, over the season we'll be doing more of Bernstein, and I hope people can experience all of it. And there are a lot of performances around the world, so don't miss it.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Maron Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and NPR Scott Simon, whose voice you know from Weekend Edition Saturday. We're talking about the BSO's salute to Bernstein to mark his 100th birthday this year. I want to pick up on what we were talking about earlier and sort of turn it on its head. We're talking about Bernstein's role in pop culture. Pop culture appeal was a criticism lobbed at Bernstein. Another one was spreading himself too thin. A few years before he died, Bernstein told a New York Times interviewer, quote, "Pianists don't think I'm a real pianist. Conductors don't think I'm a real conductor. And composers don't think I'm a real composer," close quote. Do you think that was true then? Do you think it's changed?
Listen, I think that he was, you know, people often talk about a triple threat, but he was like an octagonal threat. Is that what, octa-threat? At least a dodeca-threat? I don't know what, you know, this was a guy who was, I mean, he could do anything. Anything he turned his mind to, especially if it was related to music, he was a genius at. And it's very hard for people to accept that, I think, in another human being. It makes us feel so inadequate and so mortal when confronted with a talent like this. And I remember for his 70th birthday at Tanglewood, Stephen Sondheim rewrote the lyrics to say, "Poor Lenny, 10 gifts too many." And it was true. It was really, really true. I think, you know, now that he's not with us any longer, people are able to accept the brilliance of this multidimensional talent.
Wonder if they said that about Da Vinci too, you know? The guy can't be much of a scientist, he's a painter.
He can't invent. Why is he inventing all this stuff? He should just stick with the painting.
I know in Baltimore, why doesn't that Babe Ruth just stay a pitcher? He's such a good pitcher. Why does he have to hit too? Go ahead. Yes.
It's true though, isn't it, Scott, that people, I mean, I think we're all like that. Because it diminishes how we feel about ourselves. We feel so inadequate in the face of this. And I think that's what it was with Bernstein. He's just so unbelievably talented. But the one thing I want to say to people is that, you know, I got the privilege of sort of experiencing all these, you know, brilliant levels and dimensions. And yet the thing that I admired the most about Leonard Bernstein was the way he would connect the dots between all of these disciplines, between all of these experiences. And it always came back to sort of very fundamental philosophy about humanity. He believed in human beings. He believed in the goodness of humanity. And he believed in love. And it sounds very simple, but to have all that brilliance, you know, putting that front and center was inspirational for me.
Well, I'm grateful to both of you for sharing your joy in Leonard Bernstein. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Conductor Maren Alsop is the music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Scott Simon hosts NPR's Weekend Edition. They will be together in Baltimore a week from tomorrow, Saturday, May 5th, for a salute to Leonard Bernstein at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. We've got information about it at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. Quick break now on the record. When we're back, a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.